Somewhere during the course of these days, we've been communicating with you and talking to you, some not as often maybe as some would want to, but Lord, we're all trying to get there. Reach the mark. Thank you for this night. Satan is defeated. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That the seed of God is in us, that we might reproduce you, reproduce after your own kind, the new us. So God, speak to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name, and let some things old, some things new, some things just said differently, but everything relevant. And we praise you for every word in this Bible. No matter how familiar we are with it or how unfamiliar we are, thank you for the word. It is all that we have in these times that are getting worse and worse. Breathe on us, breath of God. We might stand up and be the people that you want us to be in these last and evil days. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. Praise God. Before you're seated, Psalm 51:15. Thank you, praise and worship. Thank you, musicians. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, you might want to keep that trumpet handy. That trumpet too, isn't it? That is, you got the horn or the trumpet tonight. Which one you got there? The saxophone, that's close enough for me. Keep that handy. I might need that later on tonight. I might need that later on tonight. Amen. Psalm 51, amen. Have that up here. Psalm 51, amen. Verse number 15, when you have it, say amen. This is where we left off last week. And so we're going to continue with where we were. We are on our prayer journey, moving onward toward Pentecost. Say that. Say Pentecost. Pentecost, we experience, and it's a Pentecost experience and a celebration. Keep your Bibles open and be seated and look at your neighbor and smile. Say, praise the Lord. How you doing? Yeah, that's right. Amen. Pentecost. I take this very seriously as we are getting ready for Pentecost. It is an experience and celebration, and that celebration is near. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm in need of a fresh anointing. Man, amen. I don't know how some people run off of the same fumes and the same, because every day you're giving out and giving out. And if you're not being refilled, you will find yourself being so empty. And as I preached on Sunday, through the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll be just paralyzed. Amen. Want to do for God, but can't do. We hear it. And we say, man, I know I need to do that. But that spirit of paralysis. And so I'm in need of that too. Thank God, the Comforter. I need him to come anew. Amen. I need the Comforter to come to my aid. And God is so fixed that if we line up with him, we can partake constantly. Say that, constantly. We can partake constantly in his ever-flowing stream of himself. That's Pentecost. It's symbolic, and yet we know it's always. I celebrate Pentecost, even though I know we ought to be with spirit-filled all year. We try to be. Amen? But it's kind of like your birthday, right? I mean, you know every day you give God thanks for another day, right? But that one day a year, you focus on it, right? And you get a little more thankful that you got a new beginning in front of you. That's what Pentecost is. And all the days that we celebrate, Resurrection Sunday, of course we celebrate the resurrection every day, but the Bible says there ought to come a time in the course of the year that the family slows down and you stop and you read it and you reread it, lest our children go through their Christian life not knowing why we are Christians. Amen? Now, I thank God for this time. I'm expecting God to bless us Pentecost week. Just to start another journey, get new information, new revelation, because if I don't hear from you, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how some Christians can go day after day and never get in touch with the Holy Ghost that they say is in them, not familiar with it. It's almost as if to them he does not exist, or he's like a picture hanging on a wall. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you the Holy Ghost is as real and alive and active and interactive as you are sitting here tonight. That's how real the Holy Ghost is. Amen. We're on a prayer journey. I hope that you've been praying. And if you missed a day, go back and make up. You can make up for the whole week tomorrow. You just have to will it in your mind that it's worth it. You have to will it in your mind that everything else that you're doing, that that prayer and a prayer life is of utmost importance. Amen. So I want to continue with that. Say this, pray like I mean it. We'll talk about that. Pray like you mean it. I'm going to continue where I left off last week, okay? Let's see. 51 verse 15. All right, let's read it together. Whatever your Bible says, whatever your device says, let's read it. Ready? Go. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Let me tell you, if I can just open up my mouth sometimes and say something to God, even if I don't feel anything is happening for me, I just want God to know that he's got glory. Everybody just come on over on this side. Hi, sweetie. Come on over on this side. I need to be real. Come on. Be close to me. Yeah, come on over. Sit down right here. The closer I get. Oh, that ain't church. that is not. Excuse me, y'all. Oh, Lord. Bishop, what's up? Hey, come on over. Come on over. Find him. Amen. See right there. Amen. Excuse me, y'all. Okay, anyway, where was I? Was I in the spirit? Okay, I'm in there. Look at your name and say amen. Amen. Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth what? Shall show forth his praise. I don't always want to pray just because I want something. I want to pray because I want to praise God. Somebody say praise God. All right, so I want to continue with that. Pray like you mean it, right? I want to continue that. I'll go back to where I left off. I left off on day 21, I know we probably passed that, and that's okay. You get find something new in it tonight that you didn't pray on this, then go back and pray it again. I'm going to run through them rather quickly so that I can get through tonight. Next week, we're not having Bible class because I'm expecting you all to be here Thursday and Friday. Look at your neighbor, smile at him, and say, please be here. Come on, y'all. I have worked for our spiritual uplifting. I have worked to build up our church spiritually. I've tried to put in everything that I can into this church so that no one walks away as a weak Christian. But you got to take advantage of what I do and what the Lord leads me to do in order to grow the church. And let the church say amen. I want to talk about here's what we want to pray about while you're praying this week. And then if you prayed it already, keep praying it. I want to pray in Jesus' name. I want to declare vindication from my enemies. Say that, vindication from my enemies. It's something that I want you to pray about. And I want to talk about who they are so that you're very clear about that. Who and what are your enemies? What are your enemies? Number one, I want to tell you that there are enemies within you. Say it, they're enemies. In me. They're enemies within you that you got to deal with. So before you start dealing with enemies who people don't like you and haters and all that stuff, first of all, make sure you don't hate yourself. There's no way you can say that you won't serve God, but you love yourself. There's no way you can say that you don't love your neighbor, but you love yourself. And if you hang around this world long enough, they will beat you up so badly that you'll find yourself hating yourself. Enemies within. Let me name some. Sin, obviously, right? Right? Doubt, right? Fear. Say that, fear. Let me say this to you, and not to overstate it, but not to understate it. Fear. Remember what sin really is. Sin is missing the mark. Say that, missing the mark. Sin is when God says your behavior ought to be here, but you're here. Sin is when God says, I put enough in you for you to act on this level, but you're acting on that level. So that's sin, right? That's sin. So let me tell you that fear and doubt, it is sin. Why? Because it shows distrust in God. Thus, when you begin to have fear and doubt to a level that it paralyzes you even from praying, what you are really doing is calling God untrustworthy. Now, let me tell you what vindication is. Vindication is to be free from allegations, to be free from blame. Ah, man. In court, what is it that vindicates one in court? If you've been charged with something, what is it that vindicates you in court? Say it. Who said Eve? Say evidence, right? You got to have some evidence, right? You got to have some evidence. So let me ask you again, when I say vindication, when I just say declare vindication from your enemies, and when I say that you have to understand that you have to reach the mark and you have enemies within you, and vindication is to be free from allegation and blame, you got to have some evidence. So you know, we say we trust God, right? And then the enemy accuses us, and the enemy brings stuff against you, and the enemy says, you really don't trust God. You're just praying and you're saying that. And you do remember in Revelation that Satan is the accuser, right? He's the accuser of what? He's the accuser of the brethren. So he stands, watch this, and remember that the devil is also the father of lies. So that no matter what Satan says, you got to know how to say the opposite, right? I say I'm free in Christ. Satan says what? He's going to say the opposite. And then God, the judge, examines the evidence. Not what you say, but what you do. What is your evidence that you trust God? Right? That's a quote. What is your evidence that you trust God? Because as I'm praying about it, I'm also praying saying, God, I want to thank you that I present to you my evidence that I trust you. You know, you got to ask God to vindicate you from your enemies that are in you. And the only way to do that is you got to build up your faith. Now, before you say amen to that, understand this. Faith cannot be built up unless there are faith building experiences. And let me tell you what they're called. Trials. You go to you got evidence, that means you got to go to trial, right? You got to have a trial on a trial. That which tries you and tests you, and in this case, that which comes up against you so that you can prove your authenticity. Prove it not only to God, but prove it even to yourself. So you cannot build up faith without having some trials. Let me tell somebody something tonight. God is not trying to hurt you. He needs to build you up in the faith. It is your evidence against Satan who says you have no faith. It is your evidence of the doubt that is in you that says you don't trust God. Because sometimes even while you're praying, you're like that man. You know, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, and the devil has you on trial, and you got to go through some things and come out and examine the evidence. And sometimes you ought to come out of a trial, not always beaten and battered, but come out of that trial with some joy. Come out of that trial with some evidence that, man, I trusted God through this thing. I mean, I didn't do it the last one, but this time I'm going to be vindicated from the enemies inside of me called doubt and fear. And let me tell you something, they are in the best of us. Come on, you find yourself, they are in the best of us. So don't always be focusing on people as enemies. Look inside of yourself. See what sins are harboring inside. See what it is about doubt. See what it is about you know, not trusting God that says, wait a minute, I need to be delivered from this. And God, I know that when I ask, and don't ask God to deliver you from something and don't expect to get up the next day probably and have a test in front of you. Don't be asking God to perfect you unless you're ready for him to send some fire. Don't be asking God to build you up and make you strong unless you're willing to go through some exercise. Just hang on out there and be a weakling. But when you ask God to perfect you in his faith, to vindicate me, I know what the devil is saying about me. I know the devil is saying I can't pass this test, but the devil is a liar. I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him through prayer. I'm going to pray through, I'm going to pray through this struggle. I know the devil is saying, you know, that I'm not worthy of the next level that God is about to take me to, but I'm going to show God some faithfulness on this level. I'm not going to wait until I get to the next level before I start to pray harder and tithe more and love God more. I'm going to act on this level like I know God is about to take me somewhere. I'm about to be vindicated from not trusting God. I'm about to be vindicated by from not believing the word of God. I am praying this week that God will vindicate me from the enemies that are inside of me. See, now then you can focus on what's outside of you. But you can't focus on what's outside of you until you deal with what is inside of you. Let each man be true. Let each person be true to your own self. Be true. God, there is some doubt there, but in the name of Jesus, I'm about to overcome it. Come on, you got to talk to God that way. Amen. God, there is some distrust. I don't know what you're doing, but God, in the name of Jesus, I'm gonna keep reading your word. I'm gonna keep praying. I'm gonna keep praising you. I'm gonna keep on till I get some strength. I know the devil is waiting for me to fail this test, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm about to be an A student. I'm about to come through this on the dean's list. I'm about to come through this. I am more than a conqueror. Then I want to be delivered from the enemies, that is people operating in the wrong spirit who seek to hurt and destroy. Write that down, write down what you see on the board. If you don't write nothing else, write what you see on the board and type in the enemy. I want to be delivered from enemies, that is people operating in the wrong spirit who seek to hurt and destroy and hinder. Just be against me for the wrong reasons. Now, I don't want to hate them, but I do want to make sure that I pray against their works. I'm going to talk about this a little later on tonight. Many people are slaves to their enemies and they don't even know it. I said that a few weeks ago, right? How? Because you let your enemies dictate how you act. You let your enemies dictate your emotions. How am I going to be full of the Spirit and happy one day as soon as my enemy, does something against me? All of a sudden, all my joy is gone. All my praise is gone. You know, I ain't speaking in tongues no more. I'm ready to cuss somebody out. How are you going to let your enemy control how you act? How are you going to let your enemy determine whether or not you love them? That means they have become your master. And as long as the devil knows what will make you bow down to him, he'll just keep. You want to see your enemies flee? Do what Romans 12:20. You have Romans 12:20? Do what Romans 12:20 says. I know some old, something new. I'm gonna get to something new in a minute, but look, we got to pray the right thing in now. Because if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, take him a glass of water. Because when you do this, you're heaping burning coals on his head. Now, some people saying burn, baby, burn. but I know many of you know this, but I take nothing for granted. For those who may not know it, people in Bible days would carry fireproof pots on their heads, right? And because they didn't have gas stoves and ovens and electricity and all that stuff like we have now, when they wanted their house to be warm and they wanted to cook, they had to go to a place where they were burning coals, and they had to get the coals, put it on their head, and they would walk it back home. And once they got back home, the coals that was on their head would then help to ignite a fire, so that the fire could be helpful to them. They could cook. They could do the things that they needed to do. So when he says, when you give your enemy a glass of water, that's like putting coals of fire on his head. He's saying that's like giving a gift to them so that they can go home and start their own fire. That's like telling them, I'm going to do something nice for you. It ain't striking no match trying to burn your enemies up. It's giving them a gift, right? It's giving them a gift. Today would say, give them some firewood for their fireplace. So that they can, and when you give them that gift, it will start something else burning. Maybe when you give them that glass of water, you know, it'll burn their conscience. Maybe it will cause them to repent. Maybe it will convict them. Maybe it will cause them to sit up at night and worry rather than me. When was the last time you just brought a gift for your enemy? Wasn't their birthday? Wasn't even Christmas. I'm trying to tell you how to pray. If you're gonna pray something, then act it. Don't pray something that you're not willing to put yourself through the test. So I'm going to ask you again, how many of y'all can think of somebody that you really don't like? I don't want you to raise your hands. And I don't want you to lie. I'd like for you to take a minute. Nobody looking at you right now. There's some people who just get on your absolute last nerves. There's some mean people. And by the way, just as we have enemies, a lot of us are also enemies to people. Because they ain't always other people. See, people only know what we tell them. They don't know what we did to ignite it and get it started. Say hallelujah. So I would like for you to take a moment. If you're going to pray, let me give you something to do. I'm going to see if you did it next week. I don't care if it costs 50 cents or a dollar or if it's a postcard. I would like for you to think of somebody that you just been, Lord, don't let them come. I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Somebody you've been arguing with, somebody you're in a little tiff with, somebody that, because I'm going to talk about the damage of that in a minute. I'd like for you to spend 50 cents or a dollar or $2 between now and next week. I'd like for you to go buy them something. I'd like for you to take them the gift and just hand it to them and say, you know what? I just want you to know I thank God for you. Now anybody can pray in church tonight, but I'm going to see how many of y'all going to do that. I mean, isn't that what the word just said? If your enemy is hungry, feed them. Okay, take them a sandwich. No, they may not take it from you. Take them something. They can't blame you if they get a stomachache, right? tell me all about. But until you pray to practice, then I don't want to hear about it. Don't be praying asking God to build you up in the faith. God, I want you to take care of my enemies if you're not going to love your enemies. It doesn't matter whether they give it back to you, whether they don't, it doesn't matter how they act. I'm trying to tell you how to get your house in order. I'm trying to tell you how to get your level of love up. Because if you keep failing that test, it's going to keep coming over and over again. Amen. And let me go quickly. I'm spending too much time on this, but did y'all get what I said? I'm gonna ask y'all if y'all did it. I'm gonna ask you if you did it. Okay. Find four quarters and go buy something. Find it out. Amen. And just take them a one of those little prayer things. You know, don't take them one to talk about how God's gonna burn you up in the fire. Don't take them a John 3:16 something, right? Take them something. Take that family member that you had an argument with 20 years ago. Hello. Well, preacher, they don't want to see me. I didn't ask you that. I said, you give them some water. Come on, that's going to grow your faith. That's going to grow you up in the Lord. Amen. Do it in a humble way. Do it in a loving way. Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. And the devil is always accusing us, right? And since you shall decree a thing and God will establish it, that I'm so glad that whatever the devil calls me, I can tell him he's a liar. Mm. Even if I am weak and he calls me weak, I can still tell him he's a liar. I don't have to give in to nothing the devil says. Let the weak say what? Let the weak say what? See, you got to speak out of your faith sometimes. You don't have to give in. Yeah, I am weak. Yeah. No. In the name of Jesus, I'm strong. I'm not going to let the devil accuse me. I'm about to be vindicated from my enemies, including the devil, enemies in me, people outside, and even me. I'm about to be vindicated in the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to let my enemies hold power over me, hold control over me. I'm not going to act the way they want me to act. I'm not going to fail like they want me to fail. I'm going to ask God in the name of Jesus, help me to build up. And by the way, I'm already in my season of perfection. I'm already in my season. Bishop, I'm in my season of perfection. Now, C. Anthony Muse, are you perfect in everything that you do? No, I am not, but I am in my season of perfection. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say it. I am strong. I am perfect. I thank God I am like Jesus. How are you going to say that when you don't see any evidence of that? I do see some. I may not see all that I want, but I see it. I see it. I see it. How are you going to say that? Well, it's just like when I went outside today. This is supposed to be spring. It's supposed to be spring. This is supposed to be the season of spring. It was the April showers that were supposed to bring the May flowers, and it's raining and it's cold. I haven't seen spring. Come on, one day is spring and then winter is back here again. It's like winter, it don't want to give up, don't want to go away. It just want to hang in there. But according to the calendar, it's still springtime. I may see it. I may feel cold. It may be windy. It's rainy. The sun ain't here. But I'm still going to say it's springtime because I'm in the season of springtime. And just because I haven't walked into the manifestation of springtime, just because I haven't seen 5 days straight of 80 degree weather, I do know that sooner or later it's got to break in. So I'm not going to say it's winter time. It's springtime. I don't feel the sun yet, but it's springtime. It's raining and it's cold, but it's springtime. Praise God. I don't see everything that I should have, but I'm still a Christian in my heart. I'm still saved. I'm walking into my season when I will see a manifestation of everything that God has said I should do and I should have. And just because I don't see it now, there's no reason for me not to say it ain't coming to pass. Look at your neighbor and say, you are saved. You are delivered. You are set free. You are a child of God. Act like you know who you are. Speak it into existence. Be delivered from your enemies. The devil is a liar and Jesus is Lord. I am strong. I am powerful. I am victorious. I am happy. I am full of joy. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, somebody say, pray for deliverance from my enemies. Pray that this week. Pray that this week. Then I want you to pray this week. Here's another thing I want you to pray. I want you to do. Don't forget to pray with a special offering. Yeah, that's right. Offer God. And what do you mean when you pray offer? Offer God something as a sign of gratitude. Humility. Humility. The exercise I just gave you to do, that's to work on your humility. Takes a humble person to walk up to an enemy who you know did you wrong. I should put a part two to that. Really test your faith. Here's a part two for those who really want to grow. Find somebody that you did wrong to. Find somebody you lied on. Find somebody you talked about. Find somebody that you backstabbed. You stabbed in the back. Go up to them and take them a gift and say, in the name of Jesus, may the forgiving power of God be at work in our lives. And just, if they don't receive it, you're not responsible. Just walk away. But we got to do something other than pray idle words. Amen. Humility. I know where when you pray and you say, God, here's my offering to you. My offering to you today is that I'm going to be honest about the people whom I've hurt. I'm going to them and try and get it right. I'm going to go to someone who has hurt me. That is an offering. Say that, an offering. And what that says is that, God, I know where my blessings have come from, and I don't take the credit for them. What special offering will you prepare for God as a sign of your faith? Amen. It could be an offering of praise. It could particular be an offering of good works. It could be an offering of money, but some special offering, something that says, number one, because let me tell you something about what a special offering when you pray, not just in the attitude to get, but in the attitude to give. Lord, where do you want me to give today? Because number one, giving reveals your heart. Number two, giving reveals your priorities. Amen? Watch where a person spend their money. That will tell you a whole lot about them. Number three, giving reveals the object of your love. Yes, it does. He said, wherever you put your treasure, that's where your heart is. Amen? Pray that you are able to give and then do it. All right. Next thing, I want you to pray with and gain strength to wrestle your enemies to the ground. Now I'm talking about the devil. Now wrestle him to the ground. Stop acting as if spiritual warfare costs you nothing. You know, and listen, if you're going to fight the devil, excuse me, and maybe I'm going to say this wrong, but you don't throw some sissy slap at Satan, then turn your back and walk away. You got to wrestle him to the ground until he surrenders. You got to pray for power to put your foot on his neck. What God has promised, I'm going to tell you something. Whatever God has promised you, it's worth the struggle that you have to endure in order to obtain it. Apostle put it like this. He said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy even to be compared to the glory that God has for me. Tell your neighbor, wrestle. Come on, tell him to say with some attitude, say, fight the good fight. Man, how badly do you want a blessing? You don't just pray some 30-second prayer and think nothing of it and think you done rebuke the devil. Sometimes you got to stay there and you got to throw every scripture at him you got. You got to throw every prayer word that you got. Sometimes it may take you 30 minutes or an hour, but this time I'm not getting up till I wrestle this devil to the ground. I'm going to get released where I am right now. I saw a man by the name of Jacob. He was wrestling, man. He was wrestling. He kept on wrestling. Morning came and he was supposed to let the angel go. He said, no, I'm hurt. I've been wrestling with you all night long, but I know you got something for me, and I won't let you go till you bless me. I won't let you go until I get what I have. Now put that in reverse. You got to wrestle with the enemy sometimes until you know. Here's a good feeling. When you get up off of your knees and you get up like this, I know I defeated the devil just now. I know if nothing else happened in prayer today, I done just defeated the devil. I done put him down. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. I have prayed. That's why I keep trying to build you up in scriptures and build you up in prayer language and build you up with ideas to pray. You don't run out of things to pray when you're in spiritual warfare. You don't run out of things to say when you're praying for a breakthrough. You pray every scripture. Pray every prayer you can remember. Pray the book of Psalms. Pray the book of Job. Just throw everything at the devil that you have. And one of these times you get up from your knees and say, I realize what just happened to me. I am just defeated the devil. I done just resisted the devil. He had to flee away from me. I won't let go until I get my blessing. Tell somebody, I won't let go. Okay, I got to skip over some. I got to skip over some to get to some more. You read the rest in your book. Thank you. So as you get them, let me read because my time is running out. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Listen, as you get this week, I'm now into some things I want you to say. Give me that one back. Thank you. I'm sorry. Lord, thank you, sir. Ooh. Okay. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Okay. I want us to pray some things. I want you to pray this. I want you to pray this week. I want you to pray that the army of God will grow. Okay? I want you to pray that the army of God will grow. Say that. The army of God will grow. And do I have 1 Chronicles 12 there? 1 Chronicles 12, 21. Did I put that? Now listen, look at this scripture and write the scripture down by what I just said. 1 Chronicles 12, okay? They helped David against the band of raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor and were captains in the army. For day by day, men came to David to help him until there was a great army like the what? Look at your neighbor and say, it looks like you're alone. But God has people out there who have been predestined to come to you at the right time and be your help. Man, Bishop, you ever see the faces of people when you preach it on Sunday? You preach it on Sunday. You talking about God will supply your need. God will make a way out of no way. God is going to see you through. And they mean well, but they looking like, yeah, but I hear that, but how? It's always a how that's going to get you in trouble. I'll tell your neighbor, don't worry about how. Thank God for the when. Oh, W-H-E-N, it's going to happen. Because, look, I'm telling you, when you say, well, you know, I only make $11 an hour, and how are you talking about God going to bless me, pressing down, shaking together, running over? I only make $11 an hour. You forgot the rest of the scripture. God said, I'm not going to just do it, but I got some people. I will send men and women to you who will give unto you. Who will, y'all just sitting there looking like you don't know. You ain't got to know them. God will speak to somebody in another state and tell them where you are. That's how good God is. If you know he's that good, say amen. He's got, and all he wants you to do after he blesses you is you become that person that will go to somebody else and you give to them. Oh, yeah. Come on. You know why that person's been held up who's supposed to be coming and blessing you? Because you don't yet have the frame of mind that if God blessed me with $1,000 and told me to give $500 to somebody else, I will give that $500. You haven't yet arrived at that. But you got to get to the point where you say, God, the blessing that I'm asking you today to send my way, I promise in the name of Jesus, I will become that person tomorrow. I'm going to be the lender and not the borrower forever. I'm going to be the person to walk up to somebody and say, God told me to bring you this. It goes around. It comes around. It goes around. Here, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say you don't have to see where the help is coming from, but there's a whole army out there. Oh, God's got, y'all gonna get it? God's got an army out there. Well, somebody clap your hands and say, God will help me. God will help me. He's going to send somebody to help me. Say, he's going to help. He's going to send somebody. David had left Saul. He has his, now David has his own army. He's king of Israel. And because some of Saul's men defected because he was so cruel to them. And the Bible says David's army grew. Let me tell you what evangelism is. Getting people to defect from Satan's army. Y'all get what I just said? Convincing people you on the wrong side on this battle, baby. You might look like you're doing good today, but I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I will bring forth fruit in my season. See, and even though David's army was growing, David was suspicious because he had experienced four occasions of betrayal from those claiming to join his army. But now David is experiencing a time of provision and increase. And listen to me, every army of God, every church goes through tough times of defection and wars and crisis. But for the next week, let's focus and ask the armies of heaven to be in agreement with us that this army of God will grow. What army, preacher? I'm a soldier in the army. Yeah. Tell somebody, I'm in the army. Oh, yeah, I've been through my boot camp. I've been through boot camp. You ain't going to tell me. Nobody going to tell me. I'm in the army. This church, this congregation is called a what? We are an army. Amen? And what the Bible tells us, if you look at, I don't know if I put, did I put 12, verse 40? Did I put verse 40 up there? Moreover, those who were near to them, even as far as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought food on donkeys and camels, mules, and on oxen. And they brought great quantities of flour and cakes and fig cakes and bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep. There was joy in Israel. Look, if you can free your hands up for a moment and thank God for what he's about to send in. I know it because I already saw it. Come on, I know it. Hey, thank God for what he's about to send in. You got to have a reason. Tell somebody you got to have a reason. Remember back in November when I said we want to feed 300 families. And then, you know, I said, we're going to feed 300 families. In the name of Jesus, we're going to feed 300 families, right? And brother sitting over there and walked up and gave $10,000 and came and gave another $10,000. I said, we want to help some people out. $30,000 from one person inside of 30 days. Don't tell me that that's not my sign, that first you see the blade and then you see the whole corn. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, man. Tell somebody God is able. You will just stop worrying about your enemies and start thanking God for some strangers that God said is about to bring you some flour and some wheat and some water and some oil and stock your house. You got to know that God is good. Somebody say, God is good. But it was all for one reason, to advance God's kingdom. That's where we lose it. I'm praying, God, make our church into a great army with adequate provision. But if you're going to pray that God grows the army called the ark, you got to be prepared to do your part. Give me three people who can tell me quickly. Just give me one. Give me three things, three ways to grow this army. What are three ways that we can grow this army? Well, say it. Okay, witness. Say witness. All right, you want God to expand your territory, why don't you expand his? Lord, enlarge my territory. Right, look at your neighbor and say, enlarge his. Witness. You got to share your faith with somebody. I say that every Sunday, don't I? And I'm going to keep saying it until I see fruit. Thank you, Jesus. You got to share your faith. You got to share what you believe in God. Give me another way to grow this army. Yeah, obviously it's giving and tithes, right? Because when God sees that we're doing our best, then he sends. God ain't blessing lazy folks. Amen? All right, I want to pray that, okay? Then I want to pray day 26. It is as you get around Thursday, Friday. I want you to pray that the presence of God be established afresh in this nation. I'm praying for the nation. Yes, you are. Say that. I'm praying for the nation. Every day I pray from where I sit and I say, God, in Jesus' name, we got to bring God back to America. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. Look at 1 Chronicles 13, 1 to 5. 1 Chronicles 13, 1 to 5. You got to pray. We got to pray that. I know that. That God is able to do that. Do we have that one? Because we don't have the one up there. Okay. First, I'm sorry. Yeah, we sure don't. And I'll tell you why. Because I knew I didn't put it in there because I didn't want to go back and mess up everything I sent y'all and do a new script all over again. So turn there. Turn to 1 Chronicles 13. Okay, I'm going to start reading it. Catch me when you get there. I'm starting in verse 1. David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you that it be the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that he may gather themselves unto us. Let us bring again the ark of our God to us. What did the ark represent? What did the ark of the covenant represent? So his presence, the presence of God, right? For we inquired not at all in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shahor to Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. Now, watch this again. Here, I want us to pray for our nation this week. I don't want us going into Pentecost just praying for our church and our house. We got to pray for the nation. I mentioned it a little bit Sunday, but I know you've been following the news every day. Every day, if you follow the news, here's what you'll see. You'll see that every day we get close. Even President Obama, he's praying this kind of prayer right now. He's saying, oh, God, please don't let this happen under my watch. He is saying, please, God, don't let it be that Syria actually released chemical weapons and chemical warfare. You got a war. See, the Middle East, if you study your Bible, when the trouble comes, it's going to start in the Middle East, and the Middle East will ignite such a world war. Read Revelation, and you will find that out. Look at now Iran is now, not that they haven't been, but now ready to go to war, even like never before, against Israel and Syria, against Israel. And Israel is saying, you have released it. And we're now saying, if we have evidence, and we do, we have it already, evidence that you have released chemical warfare. Now we're saying, if you release any more of it, that we're going to have to stop you. And the minute that the United States get involved in the Middle East in some warfare, I'm telling you, every kind of trouble is going to break out. It will bring into the war. Other nations, Japan has got to get involved in some way. China has got to. Are y'all understanding what is happening, the rippling effect? Russia has got, everybody's got to take a stand. And if they're really talking about, and I know there's something to it, if they're really talking about a North Korea being able to now release a weapon of chemical warfare that will land on the shores of the United States of America, whether they do or not, just the mere fact that they release it and say so, they know what it releases. It releases world war. I'm telling you, it may look like you are at peace right now, but you better start praying, asking God to send a revival to America to shake up Christians who have been so lackadaisical and so unpraying. We are depending on everything and everybody. God, would you help America to turn back to you? If you understand, the first thing that happened after the bombing at the Boston Marathon, the first thing they did is to get on TV and say, let's pray for America. We always want to pray for America when America is in trouble. But any other time, we don't want God to be a part of politics. We don't want God to be a part of government. But it's always a government that's calling on the churches to pray. We got to let them know who's God who are praying to, whose God has the answer. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We got to pray for the presence of God to break out a revival in our churches. And only when the churches come together under a spirit of revival, oh man, am I going over y'all tonight? Only when the churches come together and decide that we're going to do what God wants us to do. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by money. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. When churches begin to come together and pray for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost to start on every member and go from heart to heart and breast to breast. When we're not afraid to have prayer services until people actually get delivered, not till it's time to go home, but till somebody get delivered. When we are at the church, when we're there as a family and the Holy Ghost is moving, he don't move around our time. These are some crucial days. These are some troublesome days. I need to pray like I need to worship like I never worshiped before. Only when churches give up this little dab or do religion and begin to say, God, we're coming together as congregations. We're going to pray until the power of the Lord comes down. We're going to pray until the devil is defeated in our nation, in the White House, in the State House. We're going to pray until never let go. We got to get serious about our prayer. Yes. Hallelujah. My God. I mean, pray till you see blind eyes actually open. Pray. Somebody walks, come, is rolled in here in a wheelchair, but runs out of here on their own two feet. Pray. Hallelujah. We don't know the worth and the power and the miracle of prayer because we're so busy doing everything except getting in the presence of God until God is through with me. I got 6 minutes and I got to go. Look at your neighbor and say, it's praying time. Well, we don't like all night prayer meetings no more, but we better go back to them. Yeah, we better go back to them. We used to have all night prayer meetings in our church. Are you with me? until people got to the place where they didn't even want to stay in church on Sunday past 2 hours. But we used to have all night prayer meetings. That's what grew the church. We had prayer meetings until 6 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes it wasn't until 4 o'clock until a breakthrough came. But we pray. You don't like to pray because your flesh, as a matter of fact, you do everything else at night, but you don't want to pray. See, some nut would be laughing at us because we talking about all night prayer. But let them get cancer. And you tell them, I only got 5 minutes to pray for you. Okay. No, baby, I'm going to stay here until that cancer releases you. Yeah, somebody has got to get serious about God. This is a crucial day. People laugh at it because they ain't never seen God. They never experienced God. I just stopped by to tell somebody, oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, come on, Lord. Oh, Lord, open thou my lips. I came to tell somebody tonight, pray like you mean it. Sum this up, and then go home. You got to pray that every feral spirit will let us go. Just look down, look down, look down, look down, look down. And say, Pharaoh, let God's people go. I don't have time to read it to you. I don't have time to read it to you, but a lot of us are in the grips of Pharaoh and we don't even know it. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. And I want you to pray there. So write it down. I want to pray. I want to pray. I want to pray in the name of Jesus that we will be free from the grips of Pharaoh. Because God wants you to know something. God wants to work something in your life so that even your enemies will know that he's God alone. Let people laugh at your testimony until they see how you coming out. Boy, I wish this was Sunday morning, but I'd be preaching about now. Let them laugh at you praying. Let them laugh at you going to church until they get in the same situation you're in, only they're stuck and you out shouting. God wants to use you so that somebody will know that he alone is God. Number two, he wants us free from any Pharaoh in our lives so that we can worship him. Write down Exodus 14. I can't read it now. Write down Exodus 14, 1 to 4. I want you to read that when you're in prayer this week. When you're in prayer and you're praying, God, in the name of Jesus, help us, Pharaoh, to let us go. We're slaves to him. He wants us free from any Pharaoh in our lives so that we can worship him. Amen. Free from controlling spirits that hinder your worship. Free from controlling spirits that hinder your service to God, hinder your joy in serving God. Feral spirits, controlling spirits to keep you in bondage under their control. This is almost akin to what I said about enemies. Listen, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, in the name of Jesus, deliverance from Pharaoh is on the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're about to allow God to establish his glory and to press out. You got to press out of your bondage sometimes. You got to set your heart to worship differently. Listen, God's people, you know, God's people wanted Pharaoh to let them go. You know why they wanted to get out of Egypt? Because they couldn't worship God like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had told them. They knew they weren't worshiping right. Pharaoh wouldn't let them do it. So they said, we got to get to a place where we can worship. We need a generation. And God came down and said, I'm not giving my glory to somebody else. I'm about to allow worship to break out all over this Middle East. So when he forced Pharaoh to let them go, he forced them, right? He forced Pharaoh. Y'all remember that story? He forced them to let them go. And here they go. They running, right? And they running. And then, listen, they backed up and they got, y'all know the story now. Y'all go to Sunday school. They had the Red Sea behind them. And only the enemy's territory in front of them. And Pharaoh rethought it. He said, wait a minute, we just let our slaves go. We just let go the people who can make money for us. We got to go get them. He said, look, they are in a strategic position for us to be able to go and take them out. They got nowhere to go. They got the Red Sea and no boat, and they carrying all this stuff They carrying all the gold and all the blessings that God gave them. Here they are at the Red Sea. You mean to tell me God didn't have nowhere else to take them but the Red Sea? And Pharaoh said, it is strategic that we can still maintain control over them. We got to go and neither kill them or capture them. But know this, Pharaoh's army, they have no way to go. Man, how many of you know that God will make a way out of no way? I wish somebody would pray your way to that place in God tonight. Somebody shout hallelujah. You got to pray yourself down to a place where you understand, I can't see my way. There ain't no way out of this thing. Pharaoh said, I got them beat now. I got them to a place where they can't get out. Hallelujah. Let's go get them. Let's put them in our control. What he did not know is that the God that we serve was on their side. God set it up to make it look like they had no way to go, so that when he finally delivered them, even Pharaoh's people would have to say, nobody could do this but God. I know it's Bible study night, but nobody could do this but God. He didn't know that when you pray like you mean it. Look at the neighbor and say, pray like you mean it. Pray like you expect a miracle. Y'all playing with this thing. Pray like you know he's a way maker. Pray like you know I can't see my way. The sea is behind me. The army's coming up. I can see heaven now. God is standing there. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't stop praising God. Don't stop praying just because you can't see your way. God is setting you up so that when he does bless you, when he brings you out, everybody will have to say, nobody but the Lord could have this in mind. Nobody but God could work his way through this thing. Anybody in the ark of safety ready to pray until miracles happen? Yes, yes. I'm not trying to get emotional. I just want you to know that sometimes you got to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because when I know I can't do anymore, that's my indication that God is about to move. Can I get a witness? He'll open up the water. He'll take you through the fire. He'll shut the lion's mouth. He'll take you in the grave for 3 long days. And on the 3rd day, he'll call you back from the grave. There is no secret what God can do. Come on, open up your mouths and give God some praise. Oh, Lord, open thou my lips and my mouth shall. Come on, show some praise with your mouth. You bet, don't you act lazy. Praise like you're ready for a miracle. I know it ain't Sunday morning, but I wish you would go to 3 people and say, God is setting you up for a miracle. Go to 3 people and say, God is setting you up for a miracle. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Don't lose joy. Don't lose your situation. Stay there. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Oh, God. Anybody in here want to be honest?
You got some situations that you're going through right now. The devil's trying to steal your prayer, steal your praise, steal your motivation. Hallelujah. Anybody in here tonight faced with an impossible situation? It looks like I don't know how I'm going to go, where I'm going to go, what's going to break through. Can I tell you something? You are the perfect candidate for a Pharaoh let my people go experience. Hey, hey, hey. The more impossible it looks, the more God's about to do something strange, peculiar, supernatural, powerful. Yes, yes. And he will do what no other power can do. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Give me about 10 people. I ain't trying to set no show up, but I'm trying to get you to do something. Run down, touch the altar, and say, my impossible, God is about to work it out. I don't know where. I don't know how. I don't know when. But Lord, open thou my lips. Pray, 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 pray until you praise him. 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 Pray. I know it's the end of the day. I know you're tired, but give God a praise that says, I trust in God. If he did it for Moses, he's doing it for me. Pray until you believe it. Pray until you know it. Pray, baby, pray. Pray. Pray until you feel better. Pray until you act better. Pray until you shout better. Pray until his power overtakes you, and you got to give him. I can't help myself praise. I don't even feel like it, but I can't help myself praise. My setup is God moving. This is Pentecost season. I don't have no rules. Ain't no rule book here. It's Pentecost season. Come, Holy Ghost. Fill this house with your miracle power. Come, Holy Spirit. Descend, heavenly dove. Oh, God, give us a praying spirit. God, give us a praying spirit. Devil's saying to somebody tonight, what you gonna do? Where you gonna go? I dare you shout this out. I'm going through the waters. I'm going through the storm, I'm going through the fire, but I shall come forth like pure gold. I'm going through. I got nowhere else to go. Anybody ever been there? You ain't got nowhere else to go. So I might as well just go through. I'm going through, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I started with Jesus. and I'm going through. I want to ask you something. Won't he make a way? Y'all better open up your mouths and let your lips show some prayer. Won't he make a way? Won't he make a way out of no way? Pray till you get it. I'm finished. Don't just pray 5 minutes this week. Put aside 30 minutes. Yes, put aside an hour. My God. I wish it was Sunday morning because then I would shout. I feel like just praising God for, I know it's late. I know I got to get up early tomorrow morning too. But anybody feel like just praising God for about 60 seconds? I'm in a good position for a breakthrough. I'm in a good position for my miracle. I ain't got nowhere to go but God. But God. I'm gonna make a joyful noise and let the devil know I still got the victory. Yep, on Bible class night, praise the Lord. Choir, come on up, give me a praise God from whom all blessings flow. Hurry up, run up here. Run if you can. Give me a praise God from whom all. Come on, open your mouth and give God praise. Practice what you learn. Come on, Smith. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, Smith. Come on. Come on, Melvin. Come on. Come on, Michael. Come on up here. Help us. Let's set the atmosphere for a breakthrough. I ain't studying about the time. I need a miracle right now. You say it with me. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Praise God from whom?
Somebody tonight, I am the God of the impossible. God is saying to somebody tonight, I am the God of the impossible.
Hallelujah.
While you're trying to figure it out, I already worked it out. God bless you. You ought to walk out of here feeling like something happened to you tonight. You ought to walk out of here feeling like I got my faith back a little bit more. I got praying power. I got staying power. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I don't apologize when the Holy Ghost is at work. I don't apologize for that. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Good to be here. Let me tell you what I've been doing for you. I've been up here going to war for you. I've been going to battle for somebody over here in the spirit. Hallelujah. 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 It's already Pentecost. Hallelujah. 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 War, war. Hey, can we go to war for just 60 seconds? Let's go to war for about 60 seconds. Let's go to war like we know it. I feel like let the devil know I'm a winner. One more time. Oh, that's my war cry. God bless you. This is. God bless you. This is no time to play church. This is no time. There's no time to be time limiting God. God is moving for somebody. Somebody got healed tonight. Man. Say, finances just got turned on for somebody tonight. I will cause men to give to your bosom. Somebody praise God. I came here for a reason tonight. Let us stop. I didn't get to it, but let me pray for you. Let me pray for somebody. Like Jesus, I pray for you that your faith won't fail you. Jesus said, I'm praying for you that your faith won't fail. You got to give more time to God. More prayers, more witness, more of your tithe and your offering. You got to act like he's the God of the impossible. Tell your neighbor, just do your part and watch God. Spirit of depression, leave. Joy comes into the church. Joy, joy, joy. Joy in thy presence. Thank God for the anointing. It breaks yokes. It destroys yokes. Hold the music for a moment. Let me talk to you. Hold the music for a moment. Let me talk to you. Thank you, Jesus. I told you there'll be some unusual times in this church, and this is one of them. God doesn't move according to our timetable. Well, I think we should only have church like this on Sunday morning. Shut up. Anytime God brings you a blessing, you better thank him.
It ain't about you.
Any way you bless me, Lord.
And I thank you for your presence. I don't care if you come 2 o'clock in the morning and wake me up. I'm going to get up and praise you. Wow. Let us pray about some things tonight. We're going home quickly. Listen to me. Where we are in the life of our church, you can look around here on Sunday mornings and see, man, there is a tremendous change from last year to this year. Wow. I mean, last year was great, but come on, look at what God. Remember, I told you, I said the devil doesn't want, he hates what we're getting ready to do. And you got to stay prayed up so that the devil doesn't get in any area to cause there to be a weak link in the breakthrough. I didn't talk about it tonight, but maybe next time I'll talk about the rear guard, what the rear guard is supposed to be like. I don't worry about that now. The rear guard. He sees what God is doing in his church. And first of all, I want to praise God that when we go to finish this church in July, we only have to leave maybe 2 months and not 4 months, maybe 2 months. Come on, praise God. And they're working hard. I want to thank God. Brandy, Melvin, Michael, Tony, those who have been working with our folks. I want us to know what to pray for. Man, I don't know why, you know, this is a season. I just thank them. But they can do outside work. They can finish the outside. Watch them time because see you.